Greetings in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is Tony Broom Ministries welcoming you for the old time preaching from God's Word. Here's a sermon from Malachi chapter 4. The title is, Curse Ends Where Blessing Begins.
Curse ends where blessing begins. The scripture talks about this beautiful creation that God made. In the beginning, God creating heaven and earth, and all the things that He made, everything He said He was good. Man was good, very good. He said it's very good, all of it. It's not good that man would be alone, so He made him a woman, never have a boring minute since. Exciting, aggravating, and agitating, and all that good stuff to go with it. It's the only time God said it's not good. When God made heaven and earth, everything was very good. Amen. When sin got in the picture and man fell in the Garden of Eden, all the sin, all the disease, everything that started off in the beginning that was very good, ends up by the end of the book of Genesis, it closes out with a coffin in Egypt. Joseph was put in a coffin in Egypt. That was never God's will. Everybody's talking about, well, God's will be done regardless. Okay, it will. Ultimately, God's will is done, but we have a choice. God didn't choose for that coffin to be in Egypt. God's will, there would never have been a coffin. God's will, there would never have been a funeral home. I don't know what these people who go to work for a funeral home would have to do. They'd have to do something else, but it would never have been one. If it had been God's will, there would never have to have been a doctor, a nurse, a hospital, drugstore. My goodness alive. You talking about God's will? That wasn't God's will. God's will was very good. God's will was not the coffin in Egypt. God's will was not cell phones. Amen. God's will is not Facebook and social media. Amen. Thank God for what it can do. It's doing some good right now, but that wasn't God's will. All this stuff is not God's will. The curse that came. You know what happened when man fell in the Garden of Eden? The ground was cursed because of sin. Yep. Sin brought the curse. Cursed is the ground for your sake. It was not God's will, but it happened. And now we come to the end of the book of Malachi in the Old Testament in chapter 4, and we find that same curse prevailing all over the world. It was not God's will. But that same curse is found all throughout the prophets, all throughout the Bible, and even in the Psalms, you have the blessing of God and the high praises of God are going up. And then all of a sudden, the psalmist said, I'm in trouble, I'm in deep despair, I'm in the pit. Lord, help me out. And the curse is still working against the blessing. But curse ends where blessing begins. When you want that curse to end, you get into the blessing of God, and it will stop the curse that's trying to overtake your life. Malachi chapter 4, verse 1, For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly, shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that shall leave them neither root nor branch. This is the fire of God's judgment. God's judgment was not His will. He never wanted to have to judge us. But because of sin, because of the curse, because of ungodliness, it has to come to the point, not like a flood in the first time, but it will have to come to the point in the end where all the works and all the things in this earth will be burned up. All the things that people work for and they fight and they steal and they kill over silver and gold and rubies and diamonds, houses and cars, over other men and other women, and they hurt each other and they bruise each other, and relationships are destroyed and countries are at war with country. It's not God's will, but it happened because of sin. It happened because we ate from the tree that God told us not to eat from. Amen. And all of it has come because of that. The day will come that shall burn like an oven. God's hot. You talking about being hot? He's hot.
Amen.
It's because of sin, because of ungodliness. The day will come that will burn like an oven. And all the proud, all that do wickedly, will be stubble. They may not listen to God now. They may not do what God wants them to do now. But the day is coming when they will be burnt up. The wickedness and works that they do will be burnt up. It will leave them neither root nor branch. Now, it's not talking about soul annihilation. They will not be annihilated and done away with, but all their works, all the things that they have fought and worked and heaped up, all that will be done away with. The fire of God's judgment. Unless your sins are put under the cross, unless your sins are put under the blood, you will have to face the fire of God's judgment.
Amen.
Jesus Christ bore that curse. He bore that judgment for us. But if we don't come to Him as Savior and make Him our Lord, we have to suffer the consequences and penalty and the fire of God's judgment for our sin. The book of the Revelation talks about it. The wrath of God will be poured out without mixture into this world, and it will be poured out upon the souls and persons of those who do not know God and will not serve Christ. They will have to face the awful wrath and judgment of God. There's this difference, as much difference between verses 1 and verse 2 of Malachi 4 as there is between night and day. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings, and ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. You will be prospered. You will be blessed. This is God's blessing. God's blessing is upon those. God blesses everyone in a lot of ways, but His blessing is especially upon those who love and serve Him. Those who fear my name, those who love me, will not have to face the judgment of God, because all of our judgment has been passed over on to the Lord Jesus Christ. God has laid on Him the iniquity of us all. He has borne that sin and that shame and that sickness away for us. Jesus did that for us on the cross. Now all of our pain, all of our disease, all of our sickness has been rolled away onto Him. And we, instead of facing the judgment of God, we're under the spout where the glory comes out of the blessings of God. To you that fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings. That is a whole lot better than the fire of God's judgment. The Son of Righteousness rising with healing in his wings. And we will grow up like calves of the stall. We will be blessed. Ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet in the day that I shall do this, saith the Lord of hosts. This is God's promise. God still said, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those that do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are those who are poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. He still has a blessing. He still has a promise for those who love and serve Him. We may be put down now. We may be persecuted now. We may be put out now. We may be burned at the stake, as our brother was talking about. Fox's Book of Martyrs talks about so many who suffered and died for their faith. You and I may be called upon to do that. But we will have a promise that we will tread down the wicked under the soles of our feet. God will see that vengeance is paid. He said, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. And He speaks this promise directly to Israel. He says, Israel, you've been put down. You've had the world to come against you. You've had the Hitlers of this world. You've had the Holocaust of this world to be against you. You've had Egypt against you. You've had the nations of the world against you. But you will tread down the wicked under the soles of your feet. He gives this promise to Israel. They will be blessed in the end. God still has a plan and a purpose for his nation of Israel.
Amen.
Remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded unto him in Horeb for all Israel. This is specifically for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. This is the old covenant. Praise God for the old covenant. It brings us the law. It shows us how holy God is and how sinful we are. That's why the curse had to come, because we had broken God's law. We had done what God told us not to do, and we were under the curse because of it. And he said, remember ye the law which I gave Moses for all Israel. This is the old covenant. The old covenant had to come first before the new could come. The old was a shadow of the new. Everything under the old covenant pointed to Christ. The tabernacle, the furniture, all the things throughout the wilderness journey, everything pointed to Christ. Even the brazen serpent hung up upon a pole pointed to Christ. It's even mentioned in John chapter 3, right before John 3:16. He said, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have eternal life. And that's why God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish but have everlasting life. Remember the law. Remember the old covenant. Because the old covenant is a type of worship that points to the new covenant. The old covenant, the law will not pass away. Jesus said, till every jot and every tittle of the law is fulfilled, it will not pass away.
Amen.
He did not come to destroy the law or the prophets. He came to fulfill. He is the fulfillment of the law. He is the fulfillment of all the prophets.
Amen.
Jesus came to do that. He said, this is the old covenant. Remember this covenant. This covenant has rituals, it has ceremonies, it has all these things that we may not be bound by now, but it also has the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments is God's moral law for all the nations of this world.
Amen.
And I don't care how much they deny God. Now, if you're born again, you don't have to worry about it. You have the law of God written in your heart, in your life. You keep the law of God, and you do what's right because you're born again.
Amen.
You have Jesus. You have the Holy Spirit. You know God.
Amen.
His law is in your heart.
Amen.
But for those who don't know the Lord, they're still bound by the Ten Commandments. It still says, thou shalt not steal. It still says, thou shalt not commit adultery.
Amen.
It still says not to have no other gods. It still says not to take God's name in vain. It still says to honor the father and the mother. Don't bear false witness against your neighbor. Put that in the politician's pocket in Washington. Don't bear false witness against your neighbor. Don't tell lies. Don't go against one another.
Amen.
Behold, I will send Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Isn't it something that the last verse in the last chapter of the last book of the Old Testament, the last word is curse? It didn't start out that way. It said in the beginning, God. Had nothing to do with curse. Had nothing to do with sin. Had nothing to do with sickness. Had nothing to do with virus. Had nothing to do with disease. It didn't start out that way. But it ended up that way. Unless I come and smite the earth with a curse. There's a choice between curse and blessing. The only way, and God is saying it like this in our language, the only way that I can keep from smiting the whole earth with a curse, I got to send somebody who will come to be a deliverer. This Elijah the prophet will come, and he will turn the heart of the fathers to their children and the heart of the children to their fathers. You tell me nowadays that there's not friction and fraction between the father and the son and the father, the daughter and the mother and the daughter, just like Jesus said it would be. People think that just because Jesus said it would be like that, that he approves of it being like that. No, he doesn't approve of it being like that. He just told you it would be like that. Your mama told you that things was ugly in this world, but she didn't approve of you going out there and doing it just because she told you how it was going to be. And that's what Jesus did. He told us a lot of things. He told us some bad things. He didn't approve of it, but he told us about it. He said there would come one, and it would be like Elijah. It was not Elijah, but it was like Elijah. We have a choice between curse and blessing. The disciples asked the Lord, why do the scribes say that Elijah will come first? Jesus taught them, Elijah shall indeed come first and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elijah has come already, and they have done to him what they wanted to, as they will also do unto the Son of Man. The disciples correctly understood that he spoke to them of and was referring to John the Baptist. He was a type of Elijah that was to come. In fact, Jesus said, if you will receive it, this is Elijah, which was prophesied to come. They could have had the kingdom right then and there, but they rejected it by rejecting both John the Baptist and Jesus. This was tragic for them, but it was a tremendous blessing for us and for all the nations and people of the world who will now be saved. Because they rejected Christ, this opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. Curse ends where blessing begins. John the Baptist comes, and he preaches the baptism of repentance. He comes to turn the heart of the fathers to their children and the heart of the children to their fathers. He comes to do that. He comes as a type of Elijah. He looks like Elijah. He smells like Elijah. He preaches like Elijah. He's not Elijah, but if they had received it, that would have been the messenger. They could have had the kingdom right then. Christ was there. The Messiah was there. They could have received him. They could have received John's message as Elijah. They could have received it. Their hearts would be turned to each other again. Jesus was right there. He could have saved them. He would have brought in the kingdom. I don't know how it would have happened, but it would have happened. Armageddon could have been forfeited. It would have either been fought or forfeited. I don't know, but God would have made a way. But you know, God made a way anyway. He made a way, even using our misgivings. We had a choice. We made the wrong choice. Israel made the wrong choice. Let his blood be on us and on our children, and it is to this very day. Amen. They made that choice. And because they rejected God, because they rejected Christ, because they rejected the Holy Spirit, because they rejected salvation, now the door of faith is open to the Gentiles. It's not just Jew anymore. Jew and Gentile, red and yellow, black and white, they're all alike, precious in his sight. Amen. Whosoever will may be saved. Whosoever will can call upon the name of the Lord. Whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. Galatians 3:13. That curse ends where a blessing begins. Christ has been made a curse for us. The Old Testament said, he who is hanged on a tree is cursed of God. And Christ became our curse. They hung him on Calvary's tree, and he was accursed of God. Not because he had done anything wrong, but because we had done everything wrong. He took our curse. He took our sin. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. You are not under the curse anymore. You're not under that old plague anymore. You're not under that sin anymore. And these people that teach, you hear it on Christian TV all the time, generational curse, generational curse. I come to tell you today there's no generational curse, especially with those who are born again by the Spirit of God. You're not under a generational curse. It's not a generational curse, it's called sin. That's what it is. Sin, the nature of sin, passed on from one to the other. It happened all the way from Adam down. And yes, there was a curse. But the new covenant, thank God for the new covenant. The curse has been broken. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. We're not under the curse anymore. He has redeemed us from that. Now the blessing of Abraham has been passed on to the Gentiles by faith. We can receive the promise of the Holy Ghost. We're sons and daughters of Abraham by faith in Jesus Christ. We're sons and daughters of Abraham because we're sons and daughters of God through faith in Jesus Christ. He has redeemed us from the curse of the law. That curse has been broken and blessing has started. And we're under the blessing of God. We're under the favor of God. God is not mad at you. God is not trying to get you back. God is not trying to punish you for something you did. He's not trying to punish your son. He's not trying to punish your daughter. He's not trying to punish your grandchildren. I wish the whole world could hear me preach this because people are feeling like God is using this sickness to try to teach me a lesson. What kind of God would he be if he would use something that he placed on Christ on the cross to try to teach you a blessing? That's not what my God is doing. God is not trying to teach you a lesson. He's not trying to use my blindness to teach me a lesson. The only kind of lesson he's teaching me in my blindness is I got sense enough to know I can't see where I'm going. That's the kind of blessing that he's teaching me. He's not teaching me a blessing through blindness. The only blindness is part of the curse. It's part of the disease. God hates blindness. I hate blindness. It's not a way to keep you close to God. People say you must be close to God because you're blind. Well, come here and let me gouge your eyes out then, and that will help us all be closer to God. Yeah. Being blind doesn't make you closer to God. Amen. No more than a piece of meat makes you a hamburger. Blindness is aggravating, is debilitating. It's all these things that you had to work around, that you had to get accessibility, that you had to get special training, that you had to go away from your home, to go away to school. It's no blessing in it, I'm telling you. These things have been passed on because of sin. But God does not approve of it. Jesus came. What did he do? Hey, little blind boy. Nice to meet you. I'll see you later. No, Jesus didn't do that. He said, hey, blind boy, receive your sight in the name of Jesus. Amen. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to destroy the works of the devil. Amen. He came to heal those who are sick. A man sitting there can't walk. What did he do? He said, rise up and walk in Jesus' name. Make your bed and go home. Amen. He didn't leave you like he found you. He redeemed you from the curse of the law. The blessing of God has been passed on to the Gentiles by faith, and we're part of the new covenant. Christ has redeemed us from disease. He has redeemed us. You say, well, why are so many sick people now? The same way that so many people are still lost now. Yeah. We live in a world of sickness. We live in a world of disease, but we have been redeemed. We will be not only saved and justified by faith, which we are, we will be glorified one day. No more sickness, no more pain, no more suffering, no more disease, no more blindness, no more lameness, no more cancer. Good God Almighty, I feel the Holy Ghost. Praise God. Curse ends and blessing has begun. God is not mad at you. God is not in heaven trying to see what you're going to do wrong so he can throw down a boulder on you. God is in heaven wanting to bless you. He's pulling for you. There's a high priest at the Father's right hand named Jesus, and there's a Holy Spirit who has been sent into this world, into your heart, and he's pulling for you. He's interceding for you. Not that God is mad at you trying to teach you a lesson and use sickness to try to make you worry. Sickness doesn't do anything for God. Amen. All sickness does is aggravating. It costs money. It costs people to have to be burdened. It costs people to have to, nurses and doctors and people have to stay up and wait on people. God is not using that to teach you a lesson. Yeah. If God wants to teach you a lesson, he can teach you a lesson in his word. He can teach you a lesson in the Holy Spirit. He will chasten you. Yes, God will chasten his children. Yes. But he doesn't chasten you with disease. He doesn't put the devil's disease on you to chasten you. God has ways he can chasten you.
Amen.
He can speak to your heart and make you feel like, man, I know I don't need to do that anymore.
Amen.
And by the time you feel so bad about it, he said, that's all right, son. Just get up and dust yourself off. We'll keep on going.
Amen.
God doesn't put you down. There's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. He's here to lift you up and to bless you.
Amen.
Well, let's stand up while we're in a good mood. Father, thank you. Glory to God. Thank you for this opportunity to be in this place today. Thank you for the Word of God.
Amen.
Thank you for Malachi. It closes out with a curse, but you pick it up with a blessing.
Yes.
Because, Lord, you've come to bless us in heavenly places. You've come to put a blessing upon us. You've come with the blessing of Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, with the blessing of Jesus Christ, with the blessing of the Holy Spirit, with the blessing of the Word of God. We thank you for the blessing today. Our curse is over and our blessing has begun, and we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah.
You have been listening to a message from Malachi chapter 4 entitled Curse Ends Where Blessing Begins. Make sure that you know Jesus Christ as your Savior and have made Him your Lord. Your curse will have ended because your blessing will have begun. This has been a production of Tony Broom Ministries.